We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast, sponsored by DraftKings. It is Friday, February 9th, 2018. DJ Trainer here, joined by Shannon McEwen and Ken K-Train Kreitz.
All aboard!
Love that whistle. This podcast is available on iTunes and Stitcher. Feel free to leave a nice review on one of those venues. You know that we'd love to have it. You can also find this podcast on RotoWire.com directly, along with all of our other RotoWire podcasts. Check them out sometime. Synopsis of the show here. We're going to start with the Cleveland and other news. And then the main part of the show, of course, we're going to go into the non-Cleveland teams that participated in the trade deadline festivities, go into our DraftKings DFS picks for Friday. And Ken is going to sneak in his old man rant somewhere in there. But Ken, why don't you get us started here on this Friday morning?
Yeah. Trades, and more trades last night, covered by yesterday's pod as well, by Mr. Whalen and I believe Mr. Anderson. But let's get into it. What a great trade deadline day, don't you think, gentlemen? I was having a blast with all the news. I think, the biggest news being all the change with the Cavaliers. They add Larry Nance. They add Jordan Clarkson from the Lakers, both from the Lakers. They get George Hill from Sacramento, and they get Rodney Hood from Utah. I think this is a huge day for the Cavs and Kobe Altman, who deserves a heck of a lot of credit. How much kudos are you guys piling on the Cavalier organization?
I love it. Kobe Altman started as an intern and worked his way up to a point where he had enough gravitas in the organization to completely turn over the roster. How cool is that? From an intern to riches story. I love it. So going into yesterday, I really was just, you know, kind of saying around the office, I wish Cleveland would just trade their whole team. And I was kind of saying it tongue in cheek. And then those tweets started rolling out and I was losing my mind. Like, I cannot believe this actually came to fruition. I am 100% on board with everything that Cleveland did yesterday. You know, maybe we can nitpick one of the trades, like maybe bringing in George Hill won't be a big deal. But overall, the logic behind it, the theory behind it, the excitement behind overhauling the entire roster during what could be LeBron's last year in Cleveland, but still kind of positioning themselves in case he leaves next year, I thought it was a fantastic day for their organization.
Absolutely.
I mean, let's say you go ahead, Chance.
Yeah,
sorry.
Absolutely. I mean, they're in a better position for this season. And I mean, it's going to take some time for the chemistry and for the team to mesh. But they have a third of the season to get there before the playoffs. And you got Kevin Love's going to return just before the playoffs as well. That's gonna bring an entirely new dynamic to the current roster. I love what they did for this year and next. You know, teams in the East better hope that they don't get that chemistry right and mesh well before the playoffs. Because this team, if they do mesh well, they should be the favorite out of the East now. I honestly do believe that.
Well, what's funny...
I agree.
Yeah, what's funny, Ken, is that a lot of people, you know, a RotoWire staff member who will remain unmentioned came up to me and be like, well, the Cavs are out of the playoff race, right? So yada, yada. And I was like, well, you know what? It would seem that way if you're a very casual follower of the NBA, that they're out of, because based on what you see, it seems like they're not in the playoff race. They're still third in the East. So Shannon, you're totally right that they need some time to gel. But guess what? They've been afforded the luxury of still being one of the best teams in the NBA, even though we've gone through all this strife in the media and the overhaul of the roster. But you know, if you just listen to secondhand news, you would think that they're like the 10th seed in the East right now, but they've got plenty of time to gel, and they're on. I mean, they're on track to make it to another finals.
They've got.
I mean, two things. One, I love the people that are like, well, they're still not better than the Warriors. No one's better than the Warriors. Right. They have LeBron James, and they're going for it. That's what you do. You don't just punt to the Warriors, especially if you're in the East. And then second, they're significantly younger, and I agree with you, DJ. If LeBron James walks, I actually think these are some smart moves. Larry Nance is 25. They're getting significantly under. He's got another year in his contract next year. Clarkson, yes, he's getting overpaid, but also 25. Two more years on his contract after the season ends. And Rodney Hood, also 25, restricted free agent. They can let him walk or they can keep him if he works out. I mean, if LeBron walks, you're talking about a front court of Love, Nance, and Hood? That's not that bad. That's solid. That will compete in the East next year.
And that's not even mentioning the Nets pick that they still have, which, you know, could be the number one overall pick, could be five, whatever it ends up being. It's going to be an impact piece, a foundational piece that they can build around. So, I mean that team next year around Kevin Love would be probably better than any roster he had in Minnesota.
Yeah,
yes, you know, exactly.
And he's going to be in
good
the
point.
East.
That's still a playoff contending team in the East.
I think so. And especially if you're adding a perennial all-star with that Nets pick. So it's extremely interesting. I love what they did both for this year and long-term.
Fantasy now, implications.
Yes, yeah. Fantasy. That's what we're here for. So fantasy implications. What's your main takeaway from this, DJ?
For Cleveland. We'll get into all the other teams.
For Cleveland, I think Larry Nance is a must add because he was on the fringe for me in a lot of leagues to begin with. His field goal percentage is out of control in a good way. It's been such a boost. If you rostered him at the beginning of the season, he was helping a lot of teams get that, you know, full 12 points if you're in a 12-team rotisserie league in field goal percentage. I think LeBron is going to, you know, a lot of pick and roll with LeBron action. He's going to be cleaning up the rim, essentially taking over what Tristan Thompson had been doing, but maybe doing it with better defense, which means he'll be on the court more. So Larry Nance seems like the clear winner for me. I think we're going to have kind of this weird struggle when it comes to minutes, at least, with J.R. Smith, Rodney Hood, and Jordan Clarkson. I just don't know if one of them deserves mentioning or adding over the other. Now, certainly Hood and Clarkson have shown more fantasy potential than J.R. Smith. But I don't know. That's kind of a wait and see for me. But the problem is you can't wait and see. You have to go make the move right now. So the pecking order for me would be Nance, Hood, Clarkson, George Hill in that order. And maybe George Hill will end up being better than Hood and Clarkson in the long run. That's certainly possible if they allow him to play 30 minutes a game.
Nance was averaging 22 minutes per with the Lakers, and I gotta believe, yeah, that's gonna be near 30 minutes. I just gotta believe they're gonna enjoy his young legs, play the heck out of him. Also, nice side note, one of the rare NBA players that might actually be happy to play in Cleveland, which Cleveland fans know that's important. Dad played there. He grew up in Ohio.
And he went to school in Wyoming, so Cleveland, believe it or not, is an upgrade for quality of life.
Yes, I wasn't even going to go into Wyoming, but yeah, he has a history. He can wear his dad's jersey at the dunk contest.
Yeah, normally I'd be afraid of the hate mail, but nobody lives in Wyoming, so it's not that big of a deal. least populated state in the U.S., I believe.
They all have giant rifles. They all have giant rifles.
I actually think Nance is number two as far as fantasy increase in fantasy value on the Cleveland side. I'm going to go with George Hill as the number one.
I see.
Because I think he's immediately going to be playing 30, 35 minutes for the Cavs. I mean, obviously, he's going to be like the number three or four option, depending on who else is in the lineup at the time. But just the fact that his role was so inconsistent with the Kings all season, you know, he would routinely only play 25 minutes a game. He would sit for rest purposes. There's no more of that. We're going to see George Hill unleashed, and he's going to return to close to what he had with Utah last season. So we're looking at a top 70, top 80 fantasy player who basically was useless for the past three or four months. So I love his value. Nance has a little bit more upside than Hill. To me, Nance eventually would be this team's starting center over Tristan Thompson. But I don't know that that will happen. I think they're going to bring Nance off the bench initially. They don't have a lot of depth, but it's whether the question with Nance is whether or not he can take away minutes from Tristan Thompson, especially after Love returns. But I don't know if he can.
So I want to dig into
does Love return?
He's got
talking
like
next
2 weeks.
Year? I mean.
No, even for this year, whether it be the last 3 weeks of the season, it's going to take time for Nance to get earn the trust of the coaching staff to be played over Tristan Thompson. Because I mean, right now, to me, the ideal starting lineup for the Cavs with Love out would be Hill, Clarkson, Hood, LeBron at the four, and Nance at the five. Mm, yeah. But they're not going to do that. Thompson's going to start. And Nance could start at the five with LeBron at the three. You have Hood or Clarkson. Hood and Clarkson probably both coming off the bench. I don't know. We have to see what happens. It's going to take time before they firm up their rotation as well.
Yeah, but that's a tough part here, and that's why I have no problem spending a little more time on this, because this is the biggest fantasy implications going forward this season is this Cavs roster. If it is a wait and see here, but that's more for DFS. For season long, we got to make a move. So let's just say, in theory, let's do the exercise here real quick, guys. You still have $100 in Fab money, and you've decided that you're going to devote all your Fab money, $100, to this Cavs roster. Given the four players, how much are we spending on? I mean, your math doesn't have to be perfect, but let's just start. Everybody gets 25. Who are you going to shed? Like, are you going to give 40? Are you going to give 40 to George Hill and then only something like 15 to Rodney Hood and then 25
clearly, if you're
board, or?
The thing about the Nance Hill debate, though, is you're talking totally different categories. So much of this depends on your current roster, right? You're talking about a point guard and a power forward. But overall, I think Hill. I think Hill's facing a little more of a minutes battle than Nance is. I think they're going to feed Nance like crazy at power forward. Of course, what we haven't mentioned is what if Brook Lopez gets bought out by the Lakers and goes to Cleveland is one rumor. I don't know how legit that rumor is. That certainly eats into Larry Nance's time.
Yeah, there's so much. The buyout market is arguably the biggest it's ever been. So there's so many possibilities. It's hard to say it's hard to pick one player and say, well, we got to wait for him to join the roster. I think I'm going all in on Nance and Hill, and I'm a little bit too afraid on Hood and Clarkson because directly I think they might eat into each other's minutes. And I think that the Cavs are going to want to peg one of those two guys as the sixth guy off the bench, as a scoring presence off the bench. So I don't know which one. Clarkson is more, more used to that role. So maybe they'll start him. I mean, he's still going to have value. But I will say overall, I'm a little more afraid to spend money on Hood and Clarkson, not as afraid on Hill and Nance, because I think they're going to have real value for the rest of this regular fantasy season, keeping in mind that Kevin Love is only going to come back essentially during the championships of head-to-head leagues.
What helps Nance is Jeff Green, who used to be a legit power forward when he was young. He's just become so soft in his game. He really has to play small forward, except for tonight. But I think Green's softness helps Nance.
Yeah, I would. So if I'm divvying up $100 Fab budget between these guys, I'm going to go $35 Hill.
Okay.
$25 Nance. $15 Clarkson. $15 Hood. And just keep the other $10. I think that math is right. Keep the other $10.
Like I said,
we're
not gonna pull out the calculator. It's not that kind of podcast. I'm sorry I brought math into this podcast. But no, I think it's important to kind of say to put some numbers behind, how much we like Hill compared to Hood. And yeah, I think I'm right in line. I think I was overlooking Hill on my first breakdown, but I think he might be the most enticing and have the most, you know, sure-footedness heading into this transition for the Cavs.
I'll be the dissenter. I would go Nance with more of my cash. Oh. Technically, just so for the few people that haven't read, Cleveland loses Isaiah Thomas, which I'm sure everyone knows by now, Jay Crowder to Utah, Channing Frye, Iman Shumpert, Derrick Rose, and Dwayne Wade. And I don't think there's a fan in Cleveland upset about losing any of those guys.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. If you're looking for a credit card that fits your lifestyle, look no further. U.S. Bank has credit cards that make every day rewarding, no matter what you're into. Feeling hungry? Check out the U.S. Bank Altitude Go Visa Signature Card. Earn 4x points on takeout, food delivery, and dining. And get 2x points at gas stations, grocery stores, and on streaming. That'll keep your wallet and your mouth full. Big spender? The U.S. Bank Visa Platinum Card has a low intro APR for large purchases or balance transfers. And you call the shots with the U.S. Bank Cash Plus Visa Signature Card. Choose two categories each quarter. Earn 5% back on your first $2,000 of eligible purchases from those categories. So don't just get a credit card. Get the right card to make every day more rewarding. Cash back, merchandise, travel rewards, and low intro APRs are waiting. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. The creditor and issuer of these cards is U.S. Bank National Association, pursuant to a license from Visa USA, Inc., and the cards are available to United States residents only. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
In other news, Michael Beasley gets his first start with the unicorn out. Starting at power forward, puts up 21 points, 7 boards, 1 dime, 3 steals, and 1 block. Gentlemen, or DJ specifically, how the heck is Michael Beasley only owned in 50% of leagues in Yahoo?
There's a simple answer here, Ken, and that's because his name is Michael Beasley. It's as simple as that, right? It's because people have been burned by him in the past. Yeah, he's got a rap sheet. He's got a fantasy rap sheet, if you will, where I don't want to be burned by him again. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And that's basically Michael Beasley. It's CJ Miles. It's Rodney Stuckey. All those guys that come in provide a lot of hope.
He's going to get crazy minutes, though, isn't he? He's no CJ Miles.
I don't care. I was at a Knicks game earlier this season. I'm sitting there with a few of my clients. Fantasy sports site.
Smoking cigars, lighting them with $100 bills.
That was after the game. But, Beasley comes in for the Knicks, and I lean over to the guy next to me, and I say, I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but Beasley is a top 10 scorer in the NBA, one of the top 10 best scorers in the NBA. It just has to be his night, and he needs to get the minutes. Well, he's going to get the minutes now. So
they're tanking. They're in tank mode, like half the NBA, and unicorn's out. So they're more than happy for Beasley to ball hog, put up his shots. They don't care. Season's done.
I'm with you, man. I would dedicate as much as if I need scoring specifically, and he'll post decent rebound numbers with those kind of minutes. You know, defense is going to be where it's lacking, but I'd snag him up in pretty much any format. If he's available, grab him. I don't care if it's a 10-team league.
In my grad school league, 12-team league, there's a Knicks fan, I swear, picked up Beasley before the unicorn landed on that dunk over Giannis. Like, right as his knee was tearing, he's like, Beasley, free agent, done, my team now.
You know what's so funny? That story is hilarious, Ken. It's always those same guys are always terrible at responding to your emails, but amazing at picking up guys off the wire. It's the same guy.
Exactly.
I've had an email out there for a couple days now, but Beasley was picked up pretty quick. I'm looking at Beasley's season log, season averages here on RotoWire, and it's amazing. You would think this guy is a perennial all-star. Over the last 3 years, he's averaging 23, 20, 25 points. And it's like, wow, this guy has been absolutely insane. But he's only played 20, 56, 49 games. And I think that's where it comes into play where you say Michael Beasley and you say, that's great. We know he's going to come in, provide some awesome scoring, just like Shannon said. But how long is he going to be there? Because we're just not convinced he's actually going to stay with the team longer than 25% of a season.
Yeah, I mean,
he's the anti-Troy Aikman. You know how they always say Troy Aikman's more valuable in real sports than fantasy? Beasley's 10 times more valuable in fantasy than he is in real life.
I think that's true. When he's getting the minutes.
But the thing about the Knicks is what incentive do the Knicks have to give him a bunch of playing time when they could look at the younger guys and just say, you know what, you go out there and get developmental minutes. And I'm not talking about maybe even anybody that's on their roster because they really don't have any young frontcourt
guys. Younger power forward, do you want to get Lance Thomas?
We're getting into Luke Kornet territory, who made his Knicks debut recently, Isaiah Hicks. We're talking about 10-day contract seasons coming up, and I think it actually behooves the Knicks to bring in 10-day contract guys, let them play a ton of minutes, and see if they can find a diamond in the rough or something like that. Let's not forget that that's essentially how Hassan Whiteside was found. The guy had been run out of the league, had a terrible first couple seasons in Sacramento. He thought he changed up his ways and whatnot. He came back, and Miami found a diamond in the rough. It just, you know what you have in Michael Beasley. Why not go out there and try to find a diamond in the rough? That's the problem with rostering Beasley, is that teams have soured on him, and by no means is he a piece for them to use moving forward in their franchise for any team. It just doesn't make any sense.
All right, well, let's move on, gentlemen. Greg Monroe also got his, did not start, but his first game for the Celtics in Washington. Not bad. Saw 20 minutes, which is surprising. Came off the bench. He looked great on defense, and on offense, he could do his usual on-the-block moves, but he had no idea where his teammates were supposed to be. You know, Monroe is a good passer. I think long-term he'll fit into that offense once he's had some practices. But 20 minutes was kind of surprising, and they wanted a big to bang with Gortat so he could help with that. I got to say, though, I was really impressed with Tom Satoransky, who's been playing point guard with John Wall out for the Wizards. He looked horribly lost last year. Like, he had no business playing in the States and should return back to Europe. But he's on a run lately. In fact, Yahoo season average, Satoransky ranks 50th in game averages over the last 14 days. Anyway, give Satoransky a look if you miss out on all these trade news. I actually dropped Stanley Johnson for him, which I may regret, but I wanted better shooting percentages.
Has some choice words for that, but I'm right there with you, Ken. It's hard to find assists off the waiver wire. You know, we're fully expecting John Wall to not come back until a couple weeks left in the season. And like I said earlier about Love, that's essentially the championships of head-to-head. So you got to make it to the championships before you're really concerned with that. You know what? Out of all the stuff that happened with Cleveland yesterday, the overriding thing that comes to mind for me is that Brad Stevens is an amazing coach, because Isaiah Thomas gone right back, right, to being tossed around.
Zero value.
Disregarded, zero value. When he's on the court, he scores. He's a great six-man role. But Brad Stevens made him into an MVP candidate, a cornerstone of a team, of a playoff team. And I'm a little bit interested, as my mic goes out, Shannon, did you do that? If he can make Greg Monroe into a fantasy asset. Now, I'm not saying Greg Monroe, you know, in and of himself is a fantasy asset, but I think that players like Greg Monroe playing for Brad Stevens can be enticing fantasy options because of how good he is at integrating players.
Okay, Isaiah Thomas, just so we get this straight, Isaiah Thomas would have been good for any coach last year. The difference between Isaiah Thomas this year and last year is that Isaiah Thomas is no longer healthy. His hip injury just derailed him. All you need is to lose half a step when you're that size and you rely on your speed to make buckets like Isaiah Thomas does. I think he's basically done as an NBA player. Brad Stevens is an excellent coach, but it's not all on him. Isaiah Thomas was actually a very good player last year. Greg Monroe also is an okay player, and he will provide you fantasy impact, specifically in rebounding, if he gets 25 minutes a game. That's all he needs. He's shown last year with Milwaukee, if he gets 25 minutes, he can be a double-double threat. So if you need rebounds and you're confident, you know, you think Monroe will get about 25 minutes a game, he's worth a look.
Gentlemen,
I'm tempted to chime in, but I don't want this to be a seven-hour podcast. DJ, tell us about the world of cryptocurrency and fantasy sports.
Oh, my pleasure, Ken. I have a rhetorical question for you guys. What's better than fantasy sports?
Nothing.
The future of fantasy sports, gentlemen. Ooh. The Fantasy Gold team is bringing you just that. Welcome to DraftDaily.com. It's crypto, it's currency, it's sports. DraftDaily.com is the new standard in the fantasy sports industry. With almost non-existent fees, 100% trackable transaction, and 0% risk of chargebacks. They're taking the industry by storm, making the game we all love both safer and cheaper to play. They've brought fantasy sports and blockchain technology together to create the ultimate user experience and platform, DraftDaily.com. On DraftDaily.com, their users can play without worry and without fees digging into their profits. DraftDaily.com is introducing cryptocurrencies to the masses. What better way to do that than to merge crypto with fantasy sports? On DraftDaily.com, you play and win with cryptocurrency. Secure your place in history. Play on DraftDaily.com today, where players and the game they love are the focus. DraftDaily.com. Well, we teased it. Let's keep getting into it. There were other teams that participated in the trade frenzy yesterday. So, Ken, why don't you lead us through the teams that we still need to touch on, if you don't mind? And Shannon and I will break it down from a fantasy perspective because, you know, a lot of the focus is on the Cavs, but I think that a lot of people will be spending their fab money there, and maybe you can sweep in and get some sweet deals on some other guys.
Well, let's head west then. The other team getting patted on the back was Cleveland's trade partner, the Lakers. They seem to have cleared up quite a bit of cap space for possibly LeBron and Paul George next year. But for this year's fantasy, who were the fantasy winners in that Lakers on that Lakers depth chart?
I think it's really tough.
I have my own opinion here, but I didn't want to lead you guys too much.
I mean, Julius Randle and Kyle Kuzma, right, with Larry Nance out of the picture, they should get more minutes. And we saw, you know, Julius Randle have a solid game last night. When he's on the court, he's a great fantasy asset. The problem is just that Larry Nance had been digging into his production. Josh Hart is kind of the interesting one here, Shannon, that I want to talk about that had been picked up in some leagues, but probably will not be seeing much minutes when Lonzo Ball returns. Lonzo Ball has already been ruled out Saturday. So even if IT comes in, plays Saturday, Josh Hart could still have some value.
I will say, I mean, Kuzma and Randle are the two main guys that I would have interest in. I'm not too hyped about Kuzma yet. He only played 24 minutes on Thursday night. And yeah, he scored 16 points and had 9 rebounds, had a decent fantasy night. He got most of that in garbage time. He was only having a so-so night before he got extended run in the fourth quarter because the team was down by so much. So I don't know. I want to see what the Lakers do next. I feel like there's some buyout opportunities on their team.
Exactly. Yeah. Lopez goes.
Lopez and, big, and IT. I mean, yeah. I know they've said they're keeping IT around, but why?
They should buy him out.
Well,
oh,
they
my
would,
God.
He will make their team worse.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you really want Brandon Ingram setting picks for IT?
No. I mean, it'll be interesting. If they buy out.
Play hard.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. If they buy out Brook Lopez and IT, then obviously, like, I think Hart becomes more of a long-term add, and then you've got Kuzma and Randle seeing a significant increase in value with Lopez gone.
So a guy that we talked about coming into the season as a sleeper, as a dynasty guy to go target, Ivica Zubac, had a great second half of last season, and, you know, he was a fantasy darling for me, and then Brook Lopez was signed. And it's just like, well, what? All right, put him on hold. Still has dynasty value. If Lopez gets bought out and the Lakers do go into tank mode, developmental mode, which they should already be in right now, Ivica Zubac, low double-double guy. You're snickering, Shannon, but he was somebody that we were all adding frantically at the end of last season.
No, not me. Not me. And I don't worry. I'm pulling up the split stats from last year so we can actually dive into that. But
Only 20 years old. There's got to be some upside.
He, you know what? He had an okay final 12 games of the season. He averaged 11 points and 5 rebounds with 1 block. That's okay. No one was rushing to the waiver wire to grab him.
I want to back up to something Shannon said earlier, though. He said, oh, Kuzma, but a lot of those stats came in garbage time. You don't think there's going to be a lot of garbage time for the Lakers this season?
Oh,
no,
there's going to be
tons. The garbage time last night was them actually being up 20. But they're going to be getting beat by 20 so often where they just say, Kuzma, go out there, do whatever you like.
They had like 7 or 8 players in the rotation last night, and Kuzma still only played 24 minutes. Like, how that's absurd to me. He should have easily.
But when he's on there, he's like shot number one. But he's also second in attempts. Yeah, I hear you on 24 minutes, but he got 15 attempts, which was second on the team, only behind Randle. He's going
to
shoot.
I love Kuzma. I just, if I want some of these vets to get bought out, you know, before I give him a drastic increase in value for the rest of the season. I love him. He's already owned in every league anyways, as he should be. Well, I just don't expect a ginormous leap from him unless some of these,
not quite
true. Some of these vets need to be bought out.
We'll see. The dust is going to settle. Unfortunately, we won't have time, you know, to let the dust settle and then make our choices. Lots of interesting stuff to add. Like you said, Ken, we don't want to have a 7-hour podcast, so let's keep it moving.
Let's keep moving. Gentlemen, who in your opinion has lost more value? Emmanuel Mudiay, who was dealt for Devin Harris, or Elfrid Payton, who was dealt for a second-round pick? Basically, Devin Harris or second-round pick. It's almost like the equivalent of a bag of balls. Who has lost more value, and who's got a better opportunity to shine of those two?
It's almost a false question because Moody's value was so low that even if he lost value, the increment that he lost is not that big.
I mean, but, career-wise. I guess I mean career-wise. I'm sorry.
Oh, I think Moody moving to New York is almost a career ender. Like, he really needs to resurrect himself. You know, usually beat writers don't pile on to such a young player who hasn't found himself in the NBA. But the Denver Twitter yesterday was piling on Mudiay. Apparently, he hasn't talked to any Denver media members all season long. And they were saying, well, he's really going to have to struggle in New York with the media there. You know, Mudiay really needs to get his act together on the court, that is, to, you know, be an NBA player even 2 years from now. I think Payton is still going to find his way. I'm not convinced that Devin Booker should be the point guard for the Suns, even for the rest of the season, much less moving forward. I think he really needs to focus on being a true two guard because that's where he's most effective. And I would hope that Payton would be able to play alongside him and help him out.
That hurts Josh Jackson, doesn't it?
Yeah, possibly. That's true.
Possibly.
That's true.
I have to think the team's going to find a way to keep getting Josh Jackson heavy minutes for the rest of the season. He's played so well the past few weeks. Maybe it means him playing some three, so you have Payton, Booker, and Jackson all starting together, and you move TJ Warren to power forward, and then whoever you start at center, Bender or Chris. I could certainly see that being the scenario. But I would be surprised if Jackson's moved to the bench. I think everyone's just gonna be shifted up a position.
Let me ask, okay, we're gonna stay in the point guard arena, but shift teams here. We were talking about George Hill and his new value. Who do you like more, though? De'Aaron Fox, who's only owned in 55% of Yahoo leagues, who's now the unquestioned starting point guard in Sacramento, or Hill in Cleveland?
That is a great question, Ken.
And let's throw in DJ Augustine in there, too, who's now the unquestioned point guard in Orlando.
That is a very, very good question. Now, I think Fox had been kind of eaten up because over the last, let's say... let's say over the last 9 games, he's been averaging 14 points, 4 assists, having some value. His value seems to increase. I'll say Hill, Fox, Augustine.
I will say I'll go with the same order. I mean, the problem is in most leagues, for our listeners, DJ Augustine's probably the only one who's available, right?
Yeah, I kind of think so.
Fox is already going to be owned. My guess is that a lot of 12-team leagues still held on to Hill. So Augustine, who becomes pretty much a must-add, just not because I think he's a good player, just who else does Orlando have? Are they going to give Mack that many minutes at point guard? No, I mean, it doesn't really make sense to give Shelvin Mack minutes. So you give Augustine 30 minutes a game. He's not going to be great, but he can give you like 12-6 and hit a three-pointer or two each game. He had a big game last night in a start, played over 30 minutes, had like 18 points and nine assists.
Two steals, 2 3-pointers. Nice from the free. That's solid, solid value.
Yeah.
And excellent free throw shooter career-wise, though doesn't take a lot of attempts. But, you know, if you're splitting hairs here.
Not someone who you normally, a name you'd get excited about, but he's going to hold value now that Elfrid Payton's gone.
Man, the more and more we talk, which makes sense, there's just so many players to throw fab on. I don't know what my strategy is going to be if I'm going to throw a little bit of money on everybody and hope that, you know, a couple of these guys fall through the cracks, or if I'm really going to go after one or two that I feel strongly about. And that would probably be the, you know, the three that we just mentioned, near Fox, Hill, and Augustine, and then I'll let the other players kind of fall where they may. I don't know. Lots of interesting strategies to take this week heading into Fab processing.
One guy who's...
Shannon, what are your thoughts on Tyreek Evans?
Yeah, and that's who I wanted to bring up. He's so interesting because people were most likely dropping him, like especially in shallower leagues, like 10-team leagues. It's very possible he was dropped because he was benched with the anticipation.
That was dumb.
Yeah.
But
the anticipation was he was going to get traded. But now he's still on.
And lose minutes.
Yeah.
Traded and lose minutes. His best fantasy scenario just occurred by not going anywhere.
Right. So they're gonna plug him back into the lineup. He's going to continue getting 30 to 35 minutes a game. And he's going to be great. He's going to continue to produce like a top 50 fantasy player like he has all season. He's only 80.
And I think the Grizz are smart thinking they can get him to sign possibly with the next year. They have a decent shot, especially if you're not getting anything in the trade market.
They should have went young. I mean, they should have traded Marcus All. They should trade Tyreek Evans. They should bring Fizdale back. I mean, they should just go young, rebuild. I don't really like where Memphis is headed as an organization. And I use this all the time when I talk about Memphis. They're just running into a wall year after year after year. And it's getting a little bit boring.
They're not going to bring in other free agents. So the only way you can bring in quality pieces, like Evans may resign, but outside free agents, unless you overpay for damaged goods like Chandler Parsons, he sounds like a character from Friends. It's so annoying. All right.
Friends and Big Bang together, yeah.
So I mean, unless you overpay for damaged goods like that, you're not bringing in a quality free agent into Memphis.
Yeah.
Evans could resign with him, but they're still foolish for not trading him. But from a fantasy standpoint, he's only owned in 83% of Yahoo leagues, which means people did drop him within the last week or two.
Stupid.
So if you happen to be in one of those leagues, I don't care if it's 8 teams or 10 teams, go snatch him up if he's available. It's unlikely for most of us, but if you're one of the lucky few, go grab him.
Couple teams to finish
Grindhouse
out.
Now, okay. I was going to say Grindhouse now refers to the noise made by their old veterans' knees.
Nice. That is cool. Ken, wow.
Shannon, you're a Pistons fan. How excited are you about James Ennis and Jameer Nelson?
On a scale of 1 to 10, about negative 17.
You already had your big trade. You can't complain.
Yeah,
I actually think Nelson's a nice, no harm, you need a backup point guard move.
He's the third string point guard on this team. I mean,
essentially,
he's behind Ish Smith. I would actually even say he's behind Dwight Bucks or whatever the guy's last name is. I forget how to pronounce it. But he's Jameer Nelson. He's nothing. He's an old dude. He's going to be Stan Van Gundy's assistant coach next year. Like, he's just, that's all it is. It was all about
he's 87 years old,
reasons.
But he still will get you. He will get them 5-10 decent minutes off the bench.
And
he always does.
James Ennis is just brought in for depth. He's not going to surpass Bullocks or Stanley Johnson in the rotation. There's no reason to add James Ennis.
Correct. Now let's give you some props. You were pushing Jamal Murray and Gary Harris last week. Shannon, I got to believe bringing in a proven backup in Devin Harris really speaks to the trust the Nuggets have in Murray and Harris.
Yeah, I mean, all they did there was they tried to find a veteran upgrade over Moutier, who has some playoff experience. Yeah. That's all it is. That's all the move is. Harris will be their fourth guard, nothing more, nothing less. He doesn't impact those top three guys at all.
All right, let's move to, so we discussed some of these, but let's talk buyouts. Be interesting to see if Brooke Lopez leaves the Lakers, could go to Cleveland. D. Rose has already been told not to head west, and it's already almost assumed he's going to Minnesota with Tibbs. It seems like Joe Johnson is the name that people are most anxious for. I've seen the Rockets, the Warriors, Boston. Any ideas where he winds up, and fantasy-wise, doesn't matter?
I'm going to say it does not matter fantasy-wise. Allegedly, I forget what NBA beat writer tweeted this out, but there is a frenzy of bids coming in for Joe Johnson's efforts. Have him, you know, be my guest.
We need to slow this offense down. Get Joe Johnson in here, stat!
Right, yeah. I mean, it's just a veteran off a bench. There's nothing more than that. D. Rose to Minnesota, awesome. Doesn't really matter for fantasy whatsoever. Lopez to Cleveland, perhaps. I don't really think that matters. I don't think he's going to be used in the capacity.
That's Randall Kuzman. that's Randall Kuzma news right there.
Yeah, essentially. I think that you know, Nance, even Tristan Thompson, LeBron shifting down to four is going to be higher in the pecking order than them trying to integrate Brook Lopez into their lineup.
Brook Lopez, the only interesting name here for me. I mean, if he gets bought out and goes to a team where he's locked into 30 minutes a game, then he's very interesting. But no one else is of interest. And so just ignore all those other old dudes. They're all broken and busted.
All right, fellas.
You stole my news earlier, but absolutely the Lakers should buy out Thomas. I don't think they are, but they should.
We'll see.
Go to the promo, DJ.
All right. To the promo we go. We have a super deal, a special offer to RotoWire podcast listeners. Courtesy of DraftKings, we're offering free six-month RotoWire subscriptions to new DraftKings users. Here's how to take advantage of the offer. You create a DraftKings account and make your first deposit of at least $10. Then you get a six-month RotoWire membership for free, which is a $70 value. You'll also receive a free $3 ticket for a one-day fantasy sports contest deposited into your account that expires after 1 year. Keep that in mind. And you'll play for a shot at winning big cash prizes. Visit DraftKings.com/RotoWire-2018 to sign up and claim your free subscription today. One more time, DraftKings.com/RotoWire-2018. Just your regular old dash 2018 to sign up and claim your free subscription today. Ken, K-Train.
That is DraftKings.com/RotoWire-2018.
The floor is yours, Ken.
DJ, sorry I've been stumbling over you this entire pod. you should interrupt the old man rant. Time for the old man rant. I'm going to short this because we're running long. My rant is to Major League Baseball free agents.
Not the time. All of you can. NBA podcast.
Oh, God. I know, but NBA I'm running out of NBA rants. Good interruption, though. All of you free agents could be the next Isaiah Thomas. Learn from his disastrous year. In fact, I think this whole problem is actually just one guy, Scott Boras. All of his clients, J.D. Martinez, Moose, Hosmer, Arrieta, Holland, Cargo, Carlos Gomez, they're the ones that are really causing the problem here. They're all holding out for too much. Martinez has been offered a 5-year, $125 million deal. The guy's 30 years old, and he's only played in 124 games once. Plus, crummy glove. He should go anywhere he can play DH. This is a terrible Hanley Ramirez-like deal for the Red Sox. And yet, JD won't sign the deal. I hope he doesn't as a Red Sox fan. Look at the NBA trade deadline and how quickly your life can change athletes. The reality is Fox's Thursday night TV deal might be the last absurdly large big TV deal out there as fans cut the cord and cable channels are unbundled. That's going to leave sports channels that can no longer earn revenue from non-sports households. Follow Lou Williams' lead, athletes. Sign for market value, but get a no-trade clause. Can't believe Lou Williams signed under market value but didn't get a no-trade clause. That was crazy. Be like Josh McDaniels and live where you want to live. And JD, keep your fat ass and crummy glove away from Boston.
JD, one, he isn't fat. Two, he is absolutely worth that 5-year deal, but all right.
All right, we have an interesting DraftKings night tonight, gentlemen. I think we have to start with Cleveland, right? We just got to look into the madness that is their rotation tonight. Start there, and then we can branch out otherwise. The projected starting lineup for your Cleveland Cavaliers tonight is starting at point guard, out of yada yada, out of Spain, Jose Calderon. Two, J.R. Smith, small forward, CeeDee Osman. Power forward, LeBron James. Center, Tristan Thompson. This seems like a must.
You don't think Jeff Green's going to start? Jeff Green's going to start.
I think Jeff Green's going to start as well.
All right. Well, okay. Throw him in there. Six men off the bench, whatever you want to do. Regardless, I don't care. LeBron James against a poor Atlanta team seems like a must play. Like, we could be verging on 60% own in tournaments, in head-to-heads, in everything.
I don't disagree with that. I mean, if you can find a way to get LeBron James in your lineup, please do so.
And most expensive.
Yeah, he's so damn expensive tonight. He's $12,100.
Doesn't matter.
On DraftKings. He's $900 more expensive than James Harden. That's insane. That's insane. I wanted to. I tried hard to get him in my lineup.
Tried to. Couldn't do it.
But there are some other really interesting matchups. I mean, one, yes, I highly recommend targeting those Cavs guys, specifically Jeff Green and Tristan Thompson. Jeff Green and Tristan Thompson are the two I like. I think they're both going to log 35 minutes along with LeBron James, and they're just, when they get that kind of playing time, they usually have some production behind it. At the very least, Thompson's going to grab you 11 or 12 rebounds with that kind of run. But outside of the Cavs, there's other interesting plays for tonight. You have a huge revenge game opportunity with Minnesota and Chicago. Zach
Give
LaVine,
me Butler, baby.
Zach LaVine.
I got a two.
Going against
Zach
Minnesota.
Zach LaVine. Oh, Jimmy. I was going Butler the whole way.
No, both of them.
Nice.
You got both sides of the coin, Ken. You can go Butler and LaVine. And then you got Blake Griffin going up against the Clippers. Come on.
He's gonna
be a monster tonight. A monster. He's already guaranteed the Pistons finish the season on the most ridiculous undefeated streak ever. He's gonna destroy his old team tonight. Now besides those revenge games and these cheap Cavs, you've got some trade fallout here. Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield for the Kings with George Hill gone. He's $4,500 on DraftKings. I like him tonight. And here's a name that we haven't talked about very much, but fantasy players should know him. Royce O'Neal, Utah Jazz.
What?
Royce O'Neal. He's been really good. He's been a fixture in the Jazz's rotation for the past month or so. He's playing about 20 minutes per game with Rodney Hood gone. This is the guy who's actually going to benefit from it.
$3,700. It's not that low price. It ain't that risky.
No. He's posted. He had a 38-point fantasy outing last week.
21 fantasy points last 10 days.
Utah's really high on him. I'm not making this up.
Okay.
He can knock down threes. He'll grab some rebounds. Royce O'Neal is honestly a good option. DJ's just mad that I brought up a player he's never heard of.
Well, that's very true. But, I mean, you condemn me anytime I bring up somebody like this.
Royce O'Neal is no Nick Young.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Ken, I know you got a couple cheap options for us to consider if we are going to try to fit in our Blake Griffins, our LeBron James.
Well, I already said it. Jeff Green.
Excuse
4,500.
Me.
Yes. Just because crazy minutes in Cleveland. I can't beat that Royce O'Neal reference. But Jeff Green, I think, is going to start. He's going to see close to 30. I don't think anyone in Atlanta, you know, he's going to play more small forward. Well, he'll see his minutes. This will probably be tonight will be Jeff Green's minute high of the season.
All right. I love it. Love the energy today, guys. Did have one mispronounced name. You went with something like Iman Shumpert instead of Iman Shumpert, but it's all good. He's out in Sacramento. We don't need to remember how his name is pronounced.
I was trying to think of that rap video he appeared in. I couldn't concentrate. Remember that?
You're barking
up the wrong tree. His girlfriend was dressed as a tiger or something.
You got to go on the Thursday pod with Nick and James to get a reaction from that. Thanks for joining us here on the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast presented by DraftKings. Love the energy today, guys. Ken, why don't you get us out of here?
We're going to go with Jason Kidd in these crazy trade deadline times, who once said, "We're going to turn this team around 360 degrees. Attention, passengers. This three-car fantasy train has hit the end of the line."
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.